Now, the AU chairperson, the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, announced that the continent had secured the first tranche of COVID-19 vaccines. This is the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And of course, we should see the first of these vaccine doses in March from the global COVAX effort. And it's aimed at helping lower income countries obtain the shots. It comes as the continent is now seeing between 25 and 30,000 new virus cases per day. This is according to the World Health Organization of Africa. President Ramaphosa announcing that these 270 million doses have been provisionally secured from Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca via the Serum Institute of India. I'm very, very pleased to say we've been able to secure for our big interview the program manager for emergency response at the World Health Organization for Africa, Dr. Ngoy Nsenga, who joins us now on the line from Nairobi. Dr. Nsenga, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bongani. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you. Happy to be in your program.
Just paint a picture for us broadly. Just how hard has the continent been hit by COVID-19?
Thank you very much, Bongani. As you mentioned in your introduction, actually, the African region, I'm talking about the 47 members of the WHO African region, have been all affected by the COVID-19. All our 47 members have been affected and they're reporting cases. As of now, we are about 1 million cases. But what I will also say is, despite that, as you mentioned, now in this phase, we are having about 25 cases on daily basis, but Africa or the Africa region is still among the least affected. We account for about 2.5% of all the cases around the world and 2.5 of all the deaths. That said, we cannot rely, try ourselves on that as a success, because other countries have been hugely affected. So that huge number of regions like America, they are affecting the percentage. So all in all, our countries and our region has been affected like any other continent and any other region.
In some senses, we've done much better than was anticipated. All the doomsayers predicted we would fare much worse than we have. I think 2.5% of the total cases globally suggests that we've got some things right. What have been some of the key responses that you think were correct, and what are some that we could have done better? What are some areas in which we could have done better?
No, that's true. Given what is perceived and sometimes objectively, the weaknesses of our health system, so the fear was Africa was going to be hardly affected, maybe even more than other regions or other countries that are relatively richer than African countries. But I always give the credit to our member states, countries, and national authorities. It's true that many other factors might have been playing the role here, but our countries, most of our countries, took the right decision at the right time. I think that's very crucial, and we should be always putting ahead this. Like our countries, even before they got a single case in some instances, already they put in place preventive measures. That was crucial. As I always mentioned, it's not about the decision or the measures, it's about taking the measures at the right time, the right measure at the right time. That was one of our, for me, that contributed to the success we're seeing. Now, two, we see also in terms of adherence. At the beginning, as the national authorities took the decision and put in place the measures, in general, the community adhered somehow to those measures. There was no, in Africa in general, that kind of a politicization of all the measures that were taken by countries. It was this is what has to be done. This is our country has to be done. This is our country population has to be adhering to. And they did too, of course, with all the challenges we know in our region. But that's why the reasons also our countries were very much affected economically because of those decisions. So the right measure at the right time where is, for me, one of the key contributing factors to the situation we're seeing right now in Africa.
Dr. Nsenga, we're speaking to you, of course, because you are an epidemiologist. You're also an emergency response specialist. Yours is to coordinate the World Health Organization's Africa response to COVID-19. We are now, of course, talking about vaccinating, the entire human population as much as we can to achieve a place where we get herd immunity. Many of the richer countries, the wealthier countries, have been first in line as far as the queue to vaccinate their populations is concerned. Are you worried? Are you concerned at all that Africa, in a way, will be an afterthought when it comes to all of this?
Of course, when we say not only about vaccine, you might remember, Pongani, that even for other supply like PPE and oxygen concentrator and other supply and equipment, at the beginning, there was kind of a scramble, richer countries trying to get all the supply around the world, which created at some point some distortion in the market, the global market of those supplies and equipment. And that also goes for vaccine, which some call nationalism vaccine. So if the concern that countries or poor countries or countries with little diffusion power globally might be left out. Fortunately, this is why WHO, my organization, and through global partnership with other partners, including Gavi, put in place what we call the COVAX, so that countries, poor countries and low and the middle income countries are not left behind. The idea, the old philosophy of that mechanism is equity, meaning all countries should get access to vaccine at the same time as much as possible. And this is what my organization is really trying hard to put in place. And thankfully, also, we thank the African Union under the President Cyril Ramaphosa leadership, coming together at the region, putting this African mechanism for them to bargain together as a region, as an entity. I think Africa, at the end of the day, yes, there will be distortion, but we are battling hard to get the equity so that Africa can get access to vaccines at the same time as other regions and other countries.
So the president, our president, South African President Ramaphosa, in his role as chairperson of the African Union, announced this week that 270 million doses have been secured from Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. We know, of course, at least by 2016 figures, there were nearly 1.3 billion people on the African continent. Is it going to be enough? And how are you going to divide? How are you going to slice that pie?
Okay. First of all, I think the group that was put in place by the AU African Union on the vaccine acquisition is working on those details, and they'll come in the right time. They'll provide to member states those details and to the media as well to the partners. But now, when you look at the quantity that was announced, the 270 million doses, starting with 50 million, obviously that's not enough for the population of Africa of more than 1 billion people. That's not enough, obviously. And that is why, as it is mentioned in the statement from the African Union, this is a complementary, it's not the only source of vaccine for African countries. They will still go with the COVAX mechanism, and other countries are also pursuing bilateral negotiation for them to acquire vaccine. So it's a complementary, and we really applaud that, and we really congratulate the African Union, again, under the leadership of President Cyril Ramaphosa, for putting that in place and managing to get Africa to get those 270 million doses.
Dr. Nsengar, you were one of the World Health Organization leaders on the Ebola response. You were deployed in emergencies in Sierra Leone, in Guinea, in the DRC. What lessons do you think we have learned as a continent in terms of dealing with those outbreaks that have borne fruit in fighting COVID-19?
Thank you very much. Absolutely. I think Africa as a continent has really learned a lot. You might recall maybe in 2014, for instance, at policy level and organization level and the structural level, even as African Union, we didn't have the Africa CDC, the Africa Center for Disease Control, we didn't have. So at the policy level, the leadership took that conscious that Africa really needed to come together and work together as a region to fight and prevent diseases. And I think now in the COVID-19, for instance, we have seen that Africa CDC, together with WHO, they've done a good job as organizations supporting member states. That was at policy level. But we have also learned a lot at operational level. One of the key lessons from the West Africa Ebola was the pandemic was actually, not the pandemic, the outbreak was actually exacerbated by some of the weaknesses of our health system. So since then, the resolution was from WHO and partners to support the building capacity of our health system. And some of those, you'll remember that since then, we conducted, for instance, what we call a joint evaluation, external evaluation, to assess the core capacity of international health regulation, which help countries to manage outbreak and other public health emergencies, to assess our capacities in our region. And we assessed all the 47 countries. We came up, each country came up with what we call the National Action Plan for Public Health Security. That helped also to not only identify our weaknesses, but also to plan on how can we build capacity to overcome those weaknesses. I think those measures help also us in Africa. We are among the few regions that completed the whole assessment and the planning for all 47 countries. I think it also helped in this pandemic. And now, lastly, one of the key lessons I think we also have even to give to others is you cannot fight an outbreak or a pandemic without the involvement of the communities. This is crucial. This is very important. I think throughout the 47 members of the African region, they've implemented that. That community engagement is the beginning of the fight against an outbreak. And I think here, it also showed the added value of involving the community at the very grassroots level, not only at the national level, but at the community level, at the village level.
I think we all as Africans perhaps should be proud that by and large people have bought into the leadership in terms of how to deal with this. People have generally been compliant and people have wanted to try and limit the spread of COVID-19. Dr. Ngoyi Nsenga, we appreciate your time. Program Manager for Emergency Response at the World Health Organization Africa. He's an epidemiologist, an emergency response specialist. As I said earlier, he was one of the first people to be deployed when we were fighting Ebola in Sierra Leone, in Guinea, in DRC, and it was an incredible feat, I think, for us to be able to secure him for our big interview.